Hey, do you guys know that the God who created the universe wants to talk with you? And not just once, but every day. Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Rick Warren continues his life-changing series called Hearing the Voice of God, where he reveals how you can tune into God's voice, build on a real friendship with Him, and discover His direction for your life loud and clear. And now here's Rick with the final part of a message called Recognizing God's Voice.
Now, you've all heard this phrase. God told me to tell you. That phrase has done more damage than you could possibly imagine. God told me to tell you. I'd be very careful in that one. God told me to tell you you're going to get well. Oh, really? Are you sure of that? God told me to tell you what you ought to do. Really? Why didn't God just tell me directly? God told me to tell you what's wrong in your life. I remember it was probably 20 years ago. After a service, I was out on the patio and a woman came up to me and she says, Pastor Rick, God has revealed to me your secret sin. I looked at her and I said, well, I guess it's not a secret anymore. And then I looked her straight in the face. And I said, ma'am, I don't believe you. And she was shocked. Like I was automatically just supposed to accept it because she said the word God. God had told me, and how would I dare question that God had told her? I said, I don't believe you. She said, why not? I said, because I just talked to him. I said, in fact, I've been talking to him straight for all morning for about 3 hours. Because even when I'm preaching, I'm talking to God. I got a two-track mind, and I'm talking to God about the people while I'm talking to you about God. And I said, every service in this church, I'm backstage saying, God, I humble myself before you, and if there's any sin in my life that would hold back your blessings from your people, please reveal it to me right now, and I will clearly and quickly and instantly confess it and repent of it, because I don't want anything holding back blessing from my people. So show it to me. And you know what? He didn't show me anything, so I don't think you heard from him. I think she went to Calvary Chapel. I never saw her again after that. I mean, some other church, you know, I don't know. But you need to be very, very careful that Satan can discredit the Lord's work when well-meaning Christians assume God's role. You are not the Holy Spirit. To your wife, to your kids, or to anybody else. You say, wait a minute, does God ever speak to you, Rick, through other people? Of course he does. Does God ever speak to other people through you, Rick? Of course he does. But you must be very, very careful. And there are three guidelines I want you to write down. You must write these down because otherwise you're going to get into trouble on this one. Three guidelines. If God is going to speak to you about somebody else, you need to follow these three guidelines. Number one, be patient and pray. Don't immediately go and just blab it to that person when God has given you a word about somebody else. You wait, you be patient, you pray, you make sure you heard from God, and you give God a chance to speak to them directly first. All we are saying is give God a chance. Okay. Give him a chance to speak directly. In fact, sometimes God will tell you what he intends to tell somebody else so that you can pray for them so that they will be receptive to receiving it when God tells them directly. He doesn't have any intention of you saying it anyway, but he's telling you so you can pray for them. And God will give you an insight into somebody else's life and you can pray for them and say, God, may they be receptive when you tell them that. Okay, so you be patient, you pray, you don't be in a hurry. Second thing, you need to understand, God will use you to confirm what he's already said to them. Now that happens all the time. Okay, that happens all the time. Sometimes God will tell you something And you will say it to another person, and they'll go, you know, I've been feeling that. And I just wasn't sure that it was God. But I was thinking about that, and I felt like God was telling me to do that. And often God will use a human being to confirm in another person's life what he has already said to them directly. It's, yeah, you did hear me correctly. This happens to me all the time. And I'll say things to somebody, and they go, oh, you know what? I really felt like God was telling me that, and that's just a confirmation. That's very, very common. You know, almost a year before I wasn't that quite that long, but it was a long time before I took Kay out on our first date, God told me I was going to marry her. I hadn't even dated her. Now, when I got that impression from God, God said, you're going to marry that girl. I immediately doubted it for four reasons. One, God had never before or never since spoken to me that clearly. I'm saying never before and never since spoken to me that clearly. Number two, I wasn't in love with her. Three, she wasn't in love with me. Four, she was in love with another guy. Okay? So, God says, you're going to marry that girl. I made no attempt to even date her. I just filed it in the back of my mind. Now, I didn't immediately go to her and say, God's told you to marry me. No, that's beating people over the head. In fact, I never told her that until after we were married. Because love is a choice. And you can't beat people. That's not a dating technique. God told you to date me. Okay, God told me to tell you to date me. Yeah, right, okay. No, that doesn't work that way. But God told me that. It was about 6 months later, I had a partner, a prayer partner named Danny. And while we were in college, every morning we would get up at 5 a.m. and we would go out to the baseball field of the university we were going to, and we would kneel down in the dugout and we would pray from about 5 a.m. to about 6 a.m. And we did it for an entire year, or the semester, I mean, you know, the 9 months of school. And this is about 6 months later. One day we're praying in the morning, and all of a sudden Danny stops, and in the middle of his prayer, he looks over and he goes, Rick, you may think this is weird, but I just have this impression that you're going to marry Kay Lewis. And I looked at him and said, oh, God told me that 6 months ago. Keep praying. Really. And it was just kind of matter of fact. Okay? Now, what was God doing there? He was confirming in my heart, yeah, you really did hear from me. You really did hear from me. And God was doing that. Now, that wasn't the confirmation for Kay. That was the confirmation for me. Okay? And God had to do whatever he wanted to do in her life. So you got to be patient and pray. You got to realize that it's usually going to be for confirmation. Third thing, write this down. God usually uses you without you being conscious of it. When God wants to speak through you to another person, it's usually going to be done in a way that you don't even know he spoke through you. And that is so cool. And that happens all the time. You're at a small group and somebody will say something and they don't even realize what they're saying, but it hits you like an arrow straight to your heart. And you go, whoa, that was meant for me. And God just spoke to you through the mouth of somebody in your small group. That's why if you're not in a small group, you're missing that. You're missing that. You don't have anybody who's speaking into you. Godly people who can speak into your life. But that person doesn't even know that they did it. I mean, people tell me all the time, Pastor Rick, when you teach, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. I feel like you've been reading my mail. I'm not reading your mail. I'm not even reading your email. Okay? All I'm doing is I'm getting up and teaching the Word of God, and one thought will go and hit somebody here, and another one will hit somebody over here, and somebody over here, and I'm not even aware of it. But you're aware of it because God wanted it for you, and he had me say something that he wanted you to hear, even though I didn't know what it was that you needed to hear. Now, that happens all the time. Romans 14 says this about concerning my own responsibility. We will all be judged one day not by each other's standards, thank God, or even our own standards, but by the judgment of God, because God is just, right, fair, and true, and nobody's going to say you're not fair. It is to God alone that we will have to answer for our actions. Now, number six, Tom's going to come and teach on these last two filters. Is it convicting rather than condemning? That's the sixth text. Tom's going to explain this. Is it convicting rather than condemning?
If you miss this one, the difference between being convicting and condemning, you're going to find yourself, even though it passes all the other tests, constantly making decisions because you thought you've heard God's voice, but really it's this voice of condemnation. So what's the difference between conviction that the Bible talks about where God convicts us when we've done something wrong so we can get right, and this general feeling of condemnation? Conviction comes from God. He gives it to us to correct us. So I say something to one of my kids that I shouldn't have said, or to my husband, my wife, God says, you shouldn't talk like that. That's conviction. And he does it to correct us because he loves us, because he wants us to live the right kind of way and enjoy the kind of lives that he made us to live. He wants to develop our character. And conviction is something that God is just saying in my life, this needs to change. So I know what I need to change. On the other hand, condemnation comes from Satan, and it's just to criticize. It's just to accuse you. It's motivated by Satan's hatred for you, and it just gives you this overall feeling, I'm a jerk, I'm worthless, why did I do that? If you've ever, and I think we've all felt this way, just felt vaguely guilty, just this cloud, this dark cloud of guilt hanging over your head, but you couldn't put your finger on it, you just felt bad all the time, that is condemnation. And when you feel that way, that's not from God. If you feel, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm nothing, I'm not worth a thing, that is not God's voice. How do I know that? Look at this next verse in your outline, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. God does not speak that way. He does not speak with a voice of condemnation. So anytime you feel that way, you can know that's not God's voice. And I know a lot of people, to try to get rid of this general feeling of condemnation, they'll do all kinds of crazy things, thinking somehow you're following God's voice. It is never His voice. In fact, you might write down in your outline these words, God never attacks my value. He never attacks your value. Now, will He point out your sin? Oh, yeah, of course. But He doesn't attack your value. You're His child. You're the one that He loves. That's not the way that God speaks. Revelation 3, verse 19. Here's how God speaks in my life. Here's how God speaks in your life. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults, and I convict, and I discipline. So be earnest and repent, changing your mind and attitude. That's how God speaks. Condemnation is like this dark cloud of guilt. When God speaks, it's like a pinpoint of light. He tells you exactly, this is what's wrong, and this is how you change it. So now let's change it together. That's how He speaks in my life. That's how He speaks in your life. He tells you the solution, and then as soon as you confess, as soon as you change, that feeling of conviction, it goes away. It doesn't last for the rest of eternity. Condemnation is general, it's vague, and it never goes away. Conviction, it's specific, it's clear, and it goes away as soon as you respond to it. Well, let me give you another picture of this. It's like the court system. In our court system, you've seen all these courtroom dramas, or some of you are in court every day of your life. In our court system, there's really two stages if you're convicted or condemned. First you have the stage where you have all the sentencing going on, and you have the conviction. You are guilty. And then after that does come the sentencing from the judge, and you are condemned to this certain punishment. That's our court system. God's system is not the same. God's system doesn't have two parts, it has three parts. First comes the conviction, the feeling, I've done something wrong. I know I shouldn't have gone that way. And then secondly, here's the good news, Jesus takes the condemnation. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus died on the cross because He loves us, and He took our condemnation for us. And so then third, when I recognize that, I am forgiven, I am set free. That's God's system of justice. It's an awesome system of justice. It's a good news God. And so when I'm convicted and I realize I've done something wrong, how long should that feeling that I have of conviction last in my life? It should last only as long as it takes me to repent. If it takes me a month to repent, I'm going to feel conviction for a month. If it takes me a year to repent, I'm going to feel it for a year. But if immediately, as soon as God says it, I respond to it, then I know, okay, he's speaking to me. You just recognize so many times we mistake our low self-esteem for God's voice. The Bible says this about Satan. Satan is the accuser of believers, Revelation 12, verse 10. He wants to accuse you. You got to understand how Satan works with your sin. When it comes to sin, before you sin, Satan minimizes it. Have you noticed this? And then after you sin, he maximizes it. Before you sin, he says, oh, it's no big deal. Everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it. And then the minute you sin, you hear Satan's voice saying, how could you do that and call yourself a Christian? How in the world could, you are the worst slime in the universe that you did that. That's how he speaks. So what do? I realize that is the voice of Satan and not of God. So I'm going to look to God, and when I feel conviction, I'm going to immediately respond. Is it convicting or condemning? That's one of the tests. And then you come to the seventh test. And that test is, do I sense God's peace about it? If you feel pressured, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel confused about a decision that you're trying to make, it might be about money. It might be about some ministry in your life. It might be about your kids. And you're constantly feeling confused. One of the reasons for that is you're caught up in yourself probably and not in God's voice. The Bible says this about God. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. He is not the author of confusion. So if I'm feeling confused, guess what? It's some other voice. It's not God's voice speaking in my life. Those of you that are parents, do you want your kids to feel pressured or confused when you ask them to do something? No, you want them to understand what to do and then respond and do it. And God's the perfect father, so he wants us to understand what he's asking us to do. Do I sense God's peace about it in my life? Now, the only time pressure could be legitimate is if God's told me to do something and I keep saying no. Then the pressure does build. But there's always peace when I say yes to what he's asked me to do. Satan wants to drive us compulsively, and God wants to draw us compassionately. Satan wants to drive you compulsively. I think we've all got some OCD in us. And Satan wants to take advantage of our compulsions and use those to drive our lives. But God, instead, he wants to draw us compassionately. He's like a good father. He's like a good shepherd. He wants to draw our lives. Do I sense God's peace about it? I've always loved what Peter Lord used to say. 90% of what God wants to say to you is encouragement. And if all you ever hear from God is negative messages, something's wrong. The wires have been crossed. Do I sense God's peace about it as I'm listening to him? If you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, and you feel like God's told you to do something, and increasing anxiety is happening because of what you feel he's told you to do, something's crossed up. Because the Bible says this in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Here's how God speaks. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When God speaks, it does not create anxiety and worry. It creates the exact opposite. And in fact, one of the great signs that you've heard God's voice is you're in the midst of a storm and everybody else around you is worried and running around and you have this peace that you cannot explain even as you're walking through that storm. That's one of the signs. I'm listening to him. I'm hearing from him because I have his peace in my life. But notice in that verse it says, if you do this, you will have God's peace. It's not just a matter of hearing from him. It's also a matter of acting on what you hear. In fact, I love this next verse. Proverbs 22, verse 17 tells us the three things we need to do as we hear God's voice, hear God's impressions. Listen to this wise advice, follow it closely, for it will do you good, and then you can pass it along to other people. So it's not just hearing from God. You do these three things. First, you listen, you hear it. But then you follow it, you do what it says, and then you pass it on to other people.
Yesterday, when I was studying for this message, I was in my office and Cassidy, my 5-year-old granddaughter, walked in. She said, "What are you doing, Papa?" And I said, "I'm preparing to teach tomorrow at church." And she said, "What are you going to teach on?" And I said, "How to hear God speak to you." She said, "Oh, I already know that." I said, "Oh, you do?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Does God speak to you?" She said, "All the time." I said, "How does he speak to you, Cassie?" He said, "In my mind." Why is it so hard for adults and so easy for kids? Why do we make it so complicated? Because of all of our doubts and our fears and our skepticisms and all of the mess that we get into our minds. It's why Jesus said, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, you must become like a little child. Because a little child is open. "God, whatever you want to say to me." And she could hear God very clearly. And she didn't have any problem with that at 5 years of age. Now, what is it? What's the problem? If you could hear God clearly in the past, but it's not so clear anymore. I mean, the transmission has gotten fuzzy. The lines are messed up and jammed. The message is muted. It's not getting through. What's the problem if you could hear God clearly in the past, but you can't now? Here's the problem. You have allowed sin to come between you and God, and you need to pull out that blockage, and then you'll be able to hear him clear again. It may be a relationship you need to let go of. It may be a habit you need to let go of. It may be a hurt that you've held onto and said, "I am not going to let that person off the hook." And that has created a barrier between you and God. And God can't hear your prayers and you can't hear him speak to you. And what you need to do is confess that area, that blockage. Say, "God, that's wrong. And I want to confess it. And I want to change. I want to turn away from my sin. I want to turn back to you. I want to be able to hear from you." And you'll be able to hear him again. Well, what if I've never, ever heard God speak to me in my life? I've never felt it. Then you need to get to know Jesus Christ. You need to begin a relationship. You may have been in church all of your life. You can have churchianity without Christianity. You can have religion without a relationship. You can know all about God and not really know him. Now, we can settle that one right now. The Bible says this, the last verse in your outline. He who belongs to God hears what God says. That's the mark that you belong to God. You can hear him. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. You've never stepped across the line in faith. You've never put your total life in his hands. You've come with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend. You may have come to Saddleback for years, but you've never began that relationship. And this is the day to do it. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if you've never heard God speak to you, you need to begin a relationship to him today. You can say something like this in your heart. Just follow me and say, "Me too, God. Dear God, I want to know you. And I want to hear your voice. And I want to know what you want me to do with my life. Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all. But I thank you that you love me, that you made me, that you shaped me for a purpose, that you forgive me and you take away my condemnation. Show me the things in my life that are keeping me from hearing you. I want to confess them and I want to get rid of them. And I want to follow you and trust you from this day forward. I ask you to accept me into your family and help me to hear your voice and feel your presence. The rest of you you've already opened your life to Christ, you join me in this prayer. Say, dear God, I want to hear you when you talk to me this week. And more than that, I want to do what you tell me to do. I'm choosing your way in advance. And I want to pass on what you tell me to others so I can grow. Help me to use these 7 tests this week as I listen to you. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, rick@pastorrick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a fantastic message from Pastor Rick. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Friends, your generosity is helping Daily Hope take the Word of God to people all across the globe, to people like Francois in Australia. Today, I want to share a letter that I received from her. She wrote, "Thank you for sharing God's Word with us in a way that seems real and honest and believable and funny." I'm very grateful for the Daily Hope messages. I've started reading my Bible again. I understand more as I keep reading. Misconceptions have been cleared away, and I'm seeing myself as a child of God, seeing others as God sees them, and marveling at God's amazing grace and unconditional love for all of us. Daily Hope has shown me how to trust God. You know, for some time now, I have adopted what you said, I'll do my best and God will do the rest. Your message helps me do this. Your openness about your own marriage and other situations and problems make me feel that the problems that my husband and I face are normal. I'm learning how to overcome these problems by making choices that God wants me to make. And then I forward your messages on to people that I know, hoping that they will listen to them too. Francois, thank you for writing. It's wonderful that you're reading the Bible again. It's wonderful that Daily Hope has helped you understand what you're reading and cleared up some of those misconceptions. And I'm glad that you're committed to your marriage and that hearing a little about the struggles that Kay and I have gone through in our marriage was helpful to you. You know, we often help each other more through our weaknesses than our strengths. I absolutely love that you're forwarding the Daily Hope messages to people you know. And I hope everybody who's listening right now is going to do just like you. It's an easy way to share your faith with the people you know, because you never know who's going to be in heaven because you cared enough to share. God bless you, everybody.
You know, a great way to share the good news of Jesus is to share the Daily Hope messages with people who need to hear them. Just go to PastorRick.com. Click on the Listen tab. There you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.